At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio. This is Up on Game.
Caught by Hushmanzada for the touchdown.
You want NFL experience?
Manning lobs it. Burris alone. Touchdown.
And it's intercepted. LeVar Arrington.
Then this is the show for you with LeVar Arrington.
Matt Corral could possibly play himself into the starting job.
TJ Hushmanzada.
They lose first round. Mike McCarthy's out of there.
And Plaxico Burress.
Tom Brady's no longer there. It's turned into a dictatorship up there in New England.
Three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Hey, it's time to go hunt now.
All right. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is Up on Game. And that's right, we are recording, well, broadcasting, I should say, live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. We got a lot to get to on today's show and not a lot of time, but one thing I'm sure you guys will all be happy about. Well, we're all on the show. We're all back. TJ, Plex, Stretch Armstrong, Pantene Man, everyone's back. How's everybody doing, man? How y'all feeling?
Man, I'm good, man. Just been doing a little ripping and running here. Just trying to see what's out here. You know, how y'all been, man? Y'all traveling. It's crazy to see Elijah out here getting these offers and then first killing track it. Meet, blowing people's doors off, you know. See little man doing the same thing. It's the evolution of these kids, man, right in front of our eyes, man. They just growing and growing, and that means we getting older and older.
Just old. Man, just like you say, man, I just been on the groove, man, for like the last month. I went down to, you know, ND, Notre Dame for the spring, and then last weekend I was in Cleveland, Ohio. My daughter was playing in the All-American basketball game at the Women's NCAA Final Four. Mm. This weekend, me and myself and little man, we just got out here to Charlotte, North Carolina, so we're going to be going to the Rivals football camp tomorrow.
Nice.
And put a stamp on it. So, man, just all over the place right now. But you know what? This Saturday, Voltron is back together.
Yeah. Everybody's back together. We can fight evil and win. You know what I mean? We got it. We got it going on. And speaking of fighting evil and winning, fellas, I wanted to start off the show with the discussion. We've been hearing reports out of Dallas that CeeDee Lamb could potentially be a holdout candidate for this upcoming season. And also word from inside that there's multiple people, more than people would imagine, that are saying they would have no problem
if Dallas were to part ways with Micah Parsons. I wanted to start the show off with this and get y'all's perspective on. First, let's start with CeeDee Lamb. Is this a good move for CeeDee Lamb if they don't extend him? He did wait another year. He didn't get an extension this past season. So this will be the final year of his contract. Is this the right move for CeeDee Lamb to potentially hold out? If not, even end up holding out for a new contract?
Listen, man. Number one, the Cowboys need to start being proactive instead of reactive. Meaning, when you have a young player and you know he's a cornerstone player, sign him. What you waiting on? You didn't learn from Dak? Dak Prescott's contract didn't teach you guys a lesson. You wait, and that means it's greater later. You're going to pay way more later than you would pay if you get out in front of this. Like, you can't let a guy in CeeDee Lamb that you've drafted high in the first round, you can't let him go. You have to sign him. Mm-hmm. And the longer you wait, the more you're going to pay. Like, it's almost crazy that they haven't negotiated something with him now. Because it's, oh, we don't want to pay him this. Well, guess what you're going to pay him later? More than this. And so, if I'm CeeDee Lamb, it's a business. Because the way the Cowboys are approaching this right now, they're approaching it as a business. But when the player approaches it as a business, oh, why are you holding out? You go be with your teammates and be for the team. No, you approach it the same way they approach it, as a business. And so for CeeDee Lamb, he'll be playing on his fifth-year option this season, which would be just a tad under $18 million. But he's earned a long-term deal. And so would I report? I would probably report, but the smart thing for him to do is to hold out. Like, I'm not going to OTAs. I'm going to everything that's mandatory. That's me. But in today's game, with as much money as these kids are making now, man, you have to do what's best for you and approach it as a business, because they always approach it that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the number is going to be what the number is. I mean, that's just the going rate for all-star wide receiver in this league. That's just what it is now. And from Dallas, I really just don't understand it, because, I mean, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, we're talking about CeeDee Lamb. He's arguably your best player on offense. We know what the numbers are. We know what the Justin Jeffersons are looking for, the Jamar Chases, all these guys getting ready to come through the ranks. But for Dallas Cowboys, without CeeDee Lamb, you don't have an offense. So do you think that you're going to try to set a precedent and not negotiating or trying to sign CeeDee Lamb to bring him back to the Dallas Cowboys? What are you going to do, go out there and find somebody better? I don't think that's going to be the case at all, because when you're talking about CeeDee Lamb, he is easily one of the top five players at his position. And you just don't go into the draft or try to get somebody in free agency, because there's probably only three or four, maybe two or three guys in the world that are better than him than what he does. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do except sign him? And the man, just like you said, TJ, the man has earned a long-term deal. And that's what these players are doing. Like, listen, they basically have all the leverage these days. And not to say that he has not earned it. He has earned the right to say, you know what, I'm not going to attend minicamp or OTAs. I may be a holdout going to training camp. I just don't know. But why wouldn't the Dallas Cowboys not sit down with CeeDee Lamb and his agent and try to rectify this before this thing goes sour? I'm pretty sure he wants to stay in Dallas. He wants to remain in Dallas. But for them to not exercise the option of giving this man a long-term deal, it just makes no sense at all.
All right, let's quickly transition into Micah Parsons and the conversations coming from within, being leaked supposedly, allegedly, that there are multiple people, more than people would imagine, that are basically saying that he's become difficult to deal with or whatever, and that they wouldn't, you know, whoever these who they are, people are, they wouldn't have a problem if Micah Parsons wasn't in the building as a Dallas Cowboy in the future, once he's able to become a free agent, or and something else may happen. I don't know. I find that to be crazy, but what's y'all's take on that?
Trade him then. if you really feel that way, it's almost I don't understand, man, why these teams put these narratives out there, man. Because honestly, when that story comes out, why don't the Cowboys get out in front of that as soon as it comes out and says, oh, no, we don't have a problem with Michael. We don't know where this is coming from. Why has it been radio silence since that report was first leaked? Why? Because now players can do a podcast during the season. Why? Because players can get their truth out, their story out from their point of view. You don't have to go through them. Why? Why try to assassinate the man's character and who he is, and oh, it's his act is kind of just running thin, it's wearing people out? Okay, trade him. If you don't like the way he's acting, trade him. And if it's not true, come out and say something to say that it isn't true, because you do it any other time. You do it any other time. And so why not do it now with your best player? He's the best player on the Dallas Cowboys. Offense and defense. He's the best player on the team. And so if you were to trade him, guess what? You can get a king's ransom for a guy that has rubbed people the wrong way. So if people don't like him, why not get a king's ransom and get rid of a nuisance? That's what I would do, right? Of course you would. No. And so, like, he's up for a huge contract. They're going to pay him. He probably be the highest paid defensive player ever in the history of the league. They're trying to lower his value by assassinating his character, and it's wrong.
Man, we're talking about Micah Parsons.
Yes.
We're talking about Micah Parsons and the possibility of him not being a Dallas Cowboy. He is one of these generational athletes and players playing the defensive end position that we have seen over the last 20 years. Arguably one of the best right now. And if you're Jerry Jones, you have to be halfway crazy if you want to get rid of or part ways with Micah Parsons. Just like you said, TJ, you can get a king's ransom for him, but for the next 10 years, you'll probably be the worst team in the division. So it makes no sense for us to even be entertaining the fact that Micah Parsons is not going to be a part of this football team. It's like you said, they are trying to assassinate this man's character, because these contracts that these guys are getting defensively. Oh, who just signed the biggest contract as a defensive lineman? Who was that? Chris Jones?
Bosa.
Oh, Bosa.
I thought Bosa was the one I got, yeah.
Bosa. And can we not sit here and say today that you don't think Micah Parsons is a better player than Bosa?
You can make the argument either way.
But
as long as you can make the argument, then the argument is the argument.
The argument is the argument. So let's just stay there and say that if it's an argument, if we have an argument that one is 1A and one is 1B, then the contract is what it is. Nobody's going to be able to get away from giving these guys these contracts, because they have created this themselves. The players, rightfully so, and the owners. These players are recognizing that, you know what, I have an opportunity to do something financially that even when I started playing this game or coming into this league, it's even bigger than what I thought it was. And these players are going to do everything in their power to get everything that they deserve. And Michael Parsons, if Bosa is the highest paid defensive player in the league, then Michael Parsons, he needs to be right there with them or being paid more than a Bosa.
I'll say this heading into the break, fellas. Both topics put together and a conclusion coming from it is this just speaks to what apparently looks to be dysfunction, and the dysfunction that you would say you equate to why a team that has so much talent can't win. You go from big name player to big name player, and it just seems like when you hear things like this, if that's what's coming from inside of the offices, of the facilities, of the team itself, take Dallas out of the equation. If you're hearing that from any team out there or any organization out there, that says total dysfunction to me. Why would you allow for that, as you mentioned, TJ, why would you allow for that to be a narrative that isn't combated, addressed immediately upon hearing it, and it wasn't? So maybe they did it internally, but that still doesn't do anything for those two young men externally as it applies to how the fan base and how the media are taking hold of it. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You're listening to Up On Game. That's TJ Hushmanzada. It's Plexico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. On the other side of the break, we'll talk, well, a football legend turned American villain, one of the most polarizing figures in sports, passes away. We'll have a conversation about that on the other side of this break. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising.
Perfect.
And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So, listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right. All right. Welcome back in to the show. This is Up on Game, and we are live from the TireRack.com studios. I'm LeVar Arrington alongside my guys, Plexico Burrs, TJ Hushmanzada. Listen, if you want to improve your health routines, but you just don't know where to start with Silk. Did you know that Silk almond milk has 50% more calcium? Did you know that it's more than dairy milk? It's a good source of vitamins A, D, and E. So learn more about Silk products at silk.com. We're going to talk about Jared Goff in a little bit. He had some interesting things to say about the Detroit media. I'm curious about what you guys think about that. But first, let's visit the conversation of O.J. Simpson passing away this past week. Dies at 76. I'm trying to think of what direction to take the conversation in, fellas. And I guess the most relevant one would be, is O.J. Simpson the most despised, hated sports hero that you can think of in the history of sports? Because I can honestly say I have not heard too much, if any, narratives that would be considered to be positive about O.J. Simpson. The biggest story and the biggest conversation point with O.J. Simpson is clearly and obviously the double murders that took place that he was accused of and found innocent of doing it. Now, granted, keep in mind, the burden of proof is to prove that that's what you did, without a doubt. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. But anyways, it's not the fact that I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to get into the legal jargon of it all. Is this guy the most hated? Like, this, he's dead now. He died. He passed away. And yet people are happy. They're super happy that he's died. They're reveling in the idea of him, you know, being dead and having no sympathies towards it. Is this the right approach? How do you feel about it?
Man, this is tough, LeVar, because when you talk about O.J. Simpson, a football player, one of the greatest running backs to ever play, but it's hard to just talk about O.J. Simpson, a football player, without bringing up and at least being aware of what he went to trial for. Although he was found not guilty, many, including myself, felt he was guilty. I mean, you don't hop in a Bronco and get on the 91 freeway. I mean, he was rolling right by my house. And so if you don't do that, and it sucks for the families of the victims, his children, himself, but he was found not guilty of it. And again, many people thought he was guilty, and I felt like society got him back when he ended up having to go to prison, although he was able to come out of prison and it looks like lead somewhat of a productive life. But when you take the lives of two people, and again, although he was found not guilty, this is just my opinion, man, it's tough that when you hear that name, that's the first thing I think about. I don't even think about the football player anymore. I think about kids that don't have their mother any longer, and parents that they no longer have their children. And so that there is tough. It's hard to think of that name and not have the empathy towards those that were affected.
Man, it's kind of, you know, mixed emotions, I think, all across the board. I've met OJ and, you know, sat down and, you know, had conversations with him. But the people, you know, a lot, most of the people that I know who were friends of OJ, you got to remember, like, back in, you know, his time, and they
he
say
he was a hero.
You know, he was a hero.
The biggest hero.
He was more recognizable than the president at one time. Based off of, you know, his college career at USC, Heisman Trophy, and obviously, you know, being the first running back in history to run for 2,000 yards back in, you know, the 70s and, you know, all of those things. And then, you know, everything transpired. I think the saddest part about it is that, no, like, nobody got any closure. Like, those people that were passed away and now, you know, he has perished. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, I don't have an opinion, but the legacy of himself is what it's going to be. It just depends on, you know, what side of the fence you are, you know, with O.J. Simpson, as far as, you know, just like you said, TJ, like, you know, everybody has their own, you know, speculation or opinion of him, but he went to court and he was found not guilty, but that would never be enough, I feel like. So it's kind of, for me, I had a chance to meet him and sit down with him a few times, man, and, you know, obviously I had some good conversations with him, but at the end of the day, I mean, just like you said, people lost parents. His legacy will go on as whatever you portray it to be, or however you feel, about him. And that's what it's always going to be for O.J. Simpson. It's just unfortunate thing for him and in his family, extended family, who are still living. Those are the people that are going to have to live with that and carry that on with them too for the rest of their lives.
You know, the first thing I kind of, when I sat on when this happened, because I had to talk about, we were on air on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe when we were doing the Dan Patrick Show, when the news broke. Don't y'all find it kind of strange that there was never a very, very assertive effort and attempt by O.J. Simpson to really, really clear up the fact that he did not do it?
He felt like, I mean, obviously, again, this is my opinion, he felt like the trial was, it cleared up everything. That's what he felt. I mean, obviously, why would he come out and say something?
Because
he went
world,
to trial.
Because the world continued to say exactly what you are saying and spewing the hate towards him. That it did. Why wouldn't he make an assertive effort to, like, why would you come out with books if I were to do it type stuff? Like, why were these narratives coming out? I just, to myself, you were such a major sports figure. You were nicknamed the Juice. Everybody knew who he was, like you said, Plex. Everybody was a fan.
I mean, wasn't
of
he
OJ.
One of, him and Jim Brown were one of the first two football players that kind of turned into movie stars.
I mean, he was a movie star, bro.
They were the first two.
Yeah. I mean, he was on that level.
The majority of society had already formed an opinion prior to the trial. They had already formed an opinion. He was guilty. He did it. Why did he run? If you're not guilty, you're not running. And so a lot of people had already formed an opinion.
And by the way, that's TJ, why. Another major piece of that is he had a gun and was talking about he was going to end it. You know, what you got a gun in the back seat of the car for in the truck and you're about to end it. And it's kind of crazy to me that in knowing that you had the opportunity to have one of the most iconic legacies connected to sport, you turn into one of the most polarizing, infamous people maybe ever in the history of sports. And I just find it intriguing that this is one of those stories where it's like, this man just died. Like, he just passed away.
Right.
And I almost feel like there was like a collective sense of relief that the man passed away. I don't know that I've ever felt or heard or experienced anything like this in my entire life.
Hey, LaVar, let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the fact that, to my knowledge, that not one teammate that he played with put anything out on social media about him as being the man or the football player that they played with? Not one teammate said anything. What do you think about that?
I mean, I didn't really see anything coming out that outside of like the obvious, like the family statement,
right,
stuff like that. There was nothing positive that came out about him. Nothing. And you could throw in there, like, you know, contemporaries like Marcus Allen, you know, different things like that.
Right.
You know, I
think the Heisman Trophy posted something, which I thought was
crazy.
You know, nice about that. But from a teammate standpoint, not one player.
The teammates knew him before.
Right.
The
that you played with.
Yeah.
In college and in professional, and nobody like had my man back to say anything good about him as a man or a football player?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Marcus put something on his story and I missed it, but I know he didn't put nothing on his IG about it. That would have been the one I would have, you know, I looked for and wanted to see what that looked like, what that represented. That didn't take place. I really feel like in this instance that, again, I think the overwhelming conclusion to his passing was that people were relieved that he was gone. Like, that's crazy to me.
And LaVar,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, when you
make no mistake about it,
because
you're not the only one. You have said it and put it out for everybody to hear. You are exactly right.
But when the majority of society believes,
sad as it is, you're right,
he was guilty, of course that's going to be the feeling of most. Is,
hey, you know what's crazy, TJ? Not to step on you, but what's crazy about what you're continuing to say? He did this. And he wasn't found guilty. You know what the craziest thing is? I almost feel like if he had committed the crimes and went to jail, people would have been like, oh, OJ died, da-da-da, this and that. I think the fact that he was found innocent,
yes,
and was able at some point to actually walk around as a free man,
yes,
and enjoy life, and it looked like he was living it up too. Like you said, productive. It looked like he was just golfing and talking his talk with Cameron and Mason. Like it just seemed like the fact that he got off, and you know how big of a star he was, it's like some people actually were, in some cases, bigger than the law. They were above the law. And I would say that if you were drawing a conclusion just based off of all of the given evidence that we were – because, I mean, man, I was in grade school when that happened.
I remember exactly where I was at.
Bro, I can remember this joint, man. It divided the entire country.
Man, 1994, I'll never forget.
It turned into like black versus white, white versus black. I was like, I'm not in no black versus white, white versus black thing over nothing somebody else done. Like, this was not no civil rights type stuff going on. This was murder. Like, is he innocent or is he guilty? That's all I'm saying. I never understood why it turned into a black-white thing, and, you know, being black meant being innocent, being white meant he was guilty. I never understood why the narrative turned so, like, aggressively and violently into this racial divide. It was just a matter of, did he do it or did he not do it? And it was like, I ain't gonna lie to you. when he was found innocent, and people, like, if you were black, you were celebrating that he was innocent. If you were white, you were just appalled at the fact that he was found innocent. I was like walking around nervous. I can remember why. Hey, man. Like, I was, it, like, it was open season on me. Like, I ain't do it. I can recall feeling like being nervous to be black because O.J. Simpson was found innocent.
I mean, it was a lot of things about that I didn't understand at the time. I was, what, 14? 14 or 15? 15?
No, it was way before then. It was before then.
It was 1994.
Was it 94?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I was 15.
1994.
I graduated. I thought I was in grade school.
Man, you graduated high school in 96.
Yes. Maybe that's why I was worse. Dang.
Yeah, we were in high school. I was a sophomore in high school.
1994.
I thought it was. Yeah, when it happened. You was younger than what you thought you were.
It's been so long. I mean, hey, bro. I have post-traumatic syndrome.
30 years ago.
30
Dang,
years.
That's crazy, man. All right, let's get it. Let's take a break. I think the conclusion is the conclusion. I mean, it's hard to kind of celebrate the man's life. It's hard to celebrate the man's life. But nonetheless,
that's crazy, man.
Whatever side you fall on O.J. Simpson's passing, he passed away at 76, once a football icon, turned an American pariah of sorts, an infamous former athlete. And that's how it ends for O.J. Simpson and his life and his legacy.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right. Welcome back into Up On Game, live from the Tyrac.com studio. It's TJ Hushmanzada. It's Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. Shortly after the show, our podcast will be going up. If you miss any of today's show, be sure to check back out the podcast. Just search Up On Game wherever it is you get your podcast from. And be sure to also follow, rate, and review the podcast. Again, just search Up On Game and search Up On Game Presents wherever it is you get your podcast, and you'll see this show posted right after we get off the air. All right, short, quick segment here, but I wanted to ask you guys about Jared Goff taking aim at the Detroit media. Said that the Detroit media, quote, relish in negativity. I find that to be interesting because sometimes a city's personality is, what's that? Do we have sound on it? Oh, perfect, perfect. Let's listen to the sound on it. I'd love to get y'all's response on it.
I have this, like, I probably need to drop it pretty soon here because I'm going to hopefully be in Detroit for a long time. But I have this thing with our local media where, like, they almost, like, relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. It's no longer what they need to live in. Like, right. Hey, guys, like, we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, like, we're constantly the underdog. Like, no, like, teams are going to be gunning for us now. Like, we won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me. But in that moment, I was just giving that guy a hard time. I actually really like him.
How you guys feel about that?
I mean, welcome to Michigan.
Yeah.
And welcome to the city of Detroit. And a lot of good things to talk about in Detroit. That's just the reality of life up there in the 313 and on the east side and the south side and the west side and everything that they got going on. Now, over the last couple of years, this Detroit Lions football team has been winning games. But the 30 prior seasons, they've been absolutely awful. And look at the state of the Detroit Pistons right now. They can't win a ball game. It used to be a hockey town back in the 80s and the early 90s. It was Detroit Pistons. Now you're talking about the media in Detroit is all they talk about is negative. Is being negative. Well, fix it. And in all actuality and reality, the only way that you're going to fix it, if you be consistent and continue to win and maybe hoist a Lombardi one day. But until then, the media, they are going to be who they are. This is Detroit. This is not Santa Barbara. It's not Sunny Isles Beach. We're talking about Detroit. So Jared Goff, if you have a problem with it, the media, go out and win some football games, and then they will continue, hopefully or maybe, to say good things about you and this football team.
The Detroit Lions they've been a bad team for years. Now, the last couple years are changing that narrative. This all started because a beat writer asked Jared Goff prior to their game against the 49ers, man, are you guys concerned they have all this talent? And Jared Goff is like, we have talent as well. Like, we have quite a few first-team All-Pros. And that bugged him that here you are asking me about how great of a team the 49ers are, and you're not talking about us, and you're not talking about our players. And that bugged him. But it's what you just said. The Detroit Lions have historically been bad. The last couple of years, they've been good. If they continue to win, the narrative will obviously – it will change.
It will change.
But you have to do it and be consistent as a winner, as a franchise. And if you can do that, then it changes.
And he said, but do you know that what Jared Goff just did to himself moving forward?
He
put himself in a position to have no choice but to go out and be good or great or stellar every single weekend.
Yes.
Because what he just said and put out there to the media, right there is going to come back to bite him during the season.
Jared Goff attacked the people, the same people that he's going to want to support his team.
Exactly.
And so the only way they're going to support him now is if you do well. You attack those people, you better ball out.
Mm. I don't know. I wanted to get your take on it, Perfect, but we got to get to the break. Listen, you got to be willing to deal with guys who have negative takes. It's just part of the business, part of the game. This is Up On Game. This is Fox Sports Radio. Hour 2 is coming at you. We're going to start off the next hour with some Tiger Woods talk, all right? Make sure you stay tuned in. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for Hour 2.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.